Plum Love Foods Live, serious chef talk. Chef Plum.
I was a pro wrestler and a Laser Quest champion.
Chef Jeff.
People like me a lot.
Chef Dan.
Man, all that hard seltzer, man, got me bench pressing Yorkies.
Chef Rob.
I'm bougie.
The Hulkster.
Brother, I was at Arby's scarfing down a chicken cordon bleu.
Chef Dave.
I don't have AIDS, I have Lyme disease. It's different.
Plum Love Foods Live every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio and podcasted everywhere.
I have no idea why people listen to this.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Plum Love Foods Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your face on flaws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Thursday night. It's December, Jeffy, the holiday season. Can you believe it?
Can't believe it. It's literally flying by.
I tell you what, I love Christmas time, except for when you try to drive in New York City and literally everyone's turning their heads to look at the shiny lights that people are putting up. Holy shit, yes. Does it make driving a pain in the ass.
It really does.
Well, you didn't. You didn't get stuck in it today like I did. I
wanted to drive.
Dude, I was losing my mind.
Yeah.
Not good times at all. Plum Love Foods Live. It's Thursday. It's December. Chef Plum, your boy Chef Jeff. Excited to be with you guys, man. Another episode in the books. We got a great one tonight, brother. We're talking to one of our good brothers, man. A guy who I think a lot of, a guy who was on the show, who got a lot of feedback about, and he's out there changing the world, doing good things. Chef Matt from Rethink NYC is joining us. Bro, this dude's doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So Chef Matt is a salt of the earth kind of human being. You know, he's a pretty selfless guy, and couldn't talk to a sweeter guy. All around inspirational character to have in the barrel to talk to tonight. I mean, he and he's funny, which is awesome.
He's a good dude, man. This is the thing that blew me away about him. So I was revisiting the last episode we had with him, which was, it's well over a year ago now. But, you know, Matt opened that episode up with us with talking about we can end hunger. And, you know, Dave was with me on this program at the time, and we both kind of chuckled a little bit. And, I mean, after Matt talks for just a few minutes, you're like, holy shit, he's right. We can. It's pretty fucking amazing, dude.
Yeah, no, man. He's putting the pedal to the metal, and the proof is in the pudding. Like he's done really amazing things with just small pop-ups in cities he's fed literally thousands of people off one event's waste, which to me is really amazing. And if we could just figure out how to franchise it and multiply it, it could be in every single city across America. And people could literally not be hungry anymore, which to me is, I mean, that what a win for us, you know, for chefs all over.
Right, but like guys like you and I know, man, we're, you know, believe it or not, you look at these Adonis-like figures of Jeffy and I, you'd have no idea we have 25 years in this industry because we look so svelte and agile. However, 25 years in the industry, we know how much food waste there actually is. And literally, I love the way that Matt talks about it in a way, what's he... He doesn't call it, like, people who are hungry. He calls it, I can't think of it now. But it's not, like, a bad thing, the way he words it. But the way that he's handling the business, the way they take what they've got, and especially guys like us who have seen the industry and people who have been in the industry understand how much food waste or, you know, the word waste is terrible, but how much stuff that we don't use in a restaurant at the end of the night, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not all wasted. It's composted. It's thrown different places. You know, it's fed in family meals. You know, you don't want to call it all waste, but there's definitely a lot of things that if they're ugly, we're not using them. You know, I'm not using a messed up looking veggie when I'm serving it to my client. You know, I'm usually, you know, I'm cutting that away. I'm cutting parts of it off. There's like tons of it that's just going, you know, aside. There's, you know, I'm a big believer in using waste. I mean, there's so many things. I was reading on their website, you know, they're getting into fermenting and pickling and using different things from places and just putting shelf life on food where there wasn't, which is, you know, I mean, that's what we need. We need food to be able to be there so that we can give it to people, you know, so they don't pick it out of a dumpster.
100%. And, you know, the last time he was on, too, we were talking a lot about how it's not freaking rocket science, man. It's chefs. You know, we talk about you can make a bunch of pesto and freeze it. You can make a bunch of potato puree and put it aside and use it for the, you know, there's things you can do with it as chefs that, you know, we think to do that maybe other people don't think to do, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the funny thing I thought he talked about in the last episode was, you know, he'd been living like this for years as a chef.
Right.
You know, as chefs, we all live like that. Like, we all live off the, you know, the totally. Little end cut of the steak. We throw in a core container. We take a scoop of rice. You know, we find a little whatever. And, you know, a couple of jalapenos or a squirt of sriracha. Next thing you know, you're eating it on the way home or eating it when you get home.
100%. You
know, right out of the deli.
I mean, dude, I did this summer. I was driving back from Dave's restaurant. You know, I had been helping him out, and I was starving. And, you know, he threw some short ribs, some potatoes, a little bit of demi, and, you know, some beautiful carrots in a big core container. And I ate it shit on the way home, and it was dope.
Yeah. No, as a chef, we all live on potato puree. Everyone's had mashed potatoes in their life.
Yeah, like, no doubt about it.
I mean, the single reason that and bacon might be the two things that really messed my cholesterol up at all.
Absolutely. What the? Wow. Who saw this coming already? Dave, are you here?
Yo.
Good evening, sir. Listen, it's great to have you on the program with us tonight, man. You know, as we talked, I got our buddy Matt joining the program tonight. And you were on the show last time we had him on, man. What an inspirational guy, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. Gotta really admire what he's doing with everything over there at Rethink.
Absolutely, man. Well, listen, we're excited to have him on. We can't wait to chat with him here shortly. But it's been crazy, man. I can't believe it's December already. The Christmas lights are going up. I'm smelling all the spices in the air. My Christmas tree is up in the house. And I got to tell you what, like I started the show off bitching about traffic, I don't think I could get more upset, man, about the traffic. But what makes me happy is the amount of parties we've got going on, Jeffy. Like, literally, business is great. And I'm telling you, as the world as a chef, a private chef, a caterer, watching it grow and come, you know, the peaks and valleys that it has, I think this year is a good year, possibly for everybody.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm loving it. Things are going well.
Dave, you were even saying you guys have a shit ton of parties right now, right?
Yeah, we're triple booked on parties next week for Wednesday. And then we're going to be going hard for about a week or two after that with events.
That's what's up. See, that's the good thing, man. I love to see the business doing well. I love to see the business going well. What do you think, both you gentlemen, what do you think is one of the biggest hurdles when doing a holiday party? Jeffy, I know you've probably got a touch more experience with that. What do you think?
Biggest hurdles in holiday parties. Huh. I mean, locking down a head count. You know, I feel like holidays are so busy, communication with your client is like it's a real art form at that point. You know, you really have to like get them on the phone, get them talking, find out who's coming, who's not coming, you know, all that jazz, at least a ballpark.
But getting actual numbers is pretty difficult. Dave, so far with what you've done, especially being the number one now dealing with this sort of thing, what do you think, man? What have you found has been the hardest part?
I mean, it's kind of similar. It's not really locking down the head count, but it's more along the lines of like the client locking down the menu they want.
Damn, were they giving you a pain in the ass about it?
Yeah, I mean, there's an event where I got a call today, and it's, you know, it's coming up pretty quickly, and they're like, oh, we have like 120. Well, actually, I guess that's a high headcount thing too, but they wanted to add, you know, it was going to be a party for 60. And now they want to add on like, you know, 60 more people.
Right.
And then switch the menu. completely. And they're like, can you make that happen? And I was like, well,
anything's possible, but it costs money.
The money.
Try,
sure.
Yeah. I was like, I can try. I'll make it happen, but it's really soon.
All right, so here, let's get it to him one time, you guys. Each one of us, holiday party tips for people not in the business from people in the business. Jeffy, what's a tip you would give to somebody who's throwing a party?
Plan. Make lists. Write things down. Figure out what you can do ahead of time. Do it ahead of time. You know, make it easy on yourself. Don't stack it all up in one day.
All right. Dave, what do you got?
I mean, that's pretty much a...
Don't copy his. God damn it, Dave. Fucking...
Are you talking about a tip?
I think we should.
Okay, terrific.
Come on, Dave.
What the fuck? What's going on?
Give me a tip for somebody who's throwing a party, a holiday party, from a chef. Like, what would you tell them from a chef's point of view in the party?
Are they booking the party or are they like throwing it themselves?
Jeff, this is why I can't have Dave on this early. Are you fucking kidding me?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Dave, listen. Just answer the goddamn question. Perfect.
All right.
Too listen. Many variables for Dave. He can't answer the question.
It's I can't. All There's all these variables in my head. I have to have details. I have to know things, minute details, all right? Are they booking it? Are they throwing it? Is it at their house? Are they running a venue and then cooking the food themselves? I need to know these things.
I'm going to mute his microphone. Let me tell you the best tip in the world you're going to get, the best piece of advice you're going to get from me, a person who's done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of parties in private homes. Remember, it's a party. It's in the fucking word. It's a party. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great time. All the little things that you're concerning yourself about, where to place candles, what kind of bev naps, what's printed on the bev naps, how many people they're going to be, all of that shit doesn't matter. Remember, it's a party. Have fun with it. Don't stress yourself out. And number two, trust your chef or your caterer. Put some trust in them. They'll look out for you. If you've done the right research ahead of time, you've hired the right person, they'll make sure you have a great time. That's all I wanted, Dave.
Word. That's cool. Yeah, lock down your menu. Like, don't try to change it, like, the day before or even the day of.
Jeffy, Dave's on your team now.
What team?
Dave's always on my team. I have the best ideas. That's why, right, Dave?
Yeah, we got good ideas. We make shit work. Me and Jeff, we communicate telepathically. That's why most of his answers are pretty much what I'm going to say anyway.
This is some bullshit right here. Check it out. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. We're going to be joined by our man, Chef Matt Joswiak from Rethink NYC. We're going to get your brains in the right place. We're going to get your given minds in the right place because it's the given season, Jeffy. It's that given season, Dave. We're going to be looking after people. We're going to hear all the great stuff that Matt's got going on. He's out there changing the world. That good brother's going to end hunger. You watch. Mark my words. It's going to happen. Stay right there.
Love it.
We'll be right back. Plum Love Foods Live.
Wait, Mark. Hi, I'm Jocko Golden, award-winning chef, celebrity janitor, and creator of the Weight Mop.
Weight Mop?
What is a weight mop? Well, a weight mop is your standard mop.
Weight Mop.
Reimagined and revolutionarily designed by yours truly to keep your house clean and your body mean.
Weight Mop.
With our patented sliding three-plate system, coming in three sizes, 4, 8, and 147, they're stackable and interchangeable, so you can get that workout in regardless of your fitness level.
Weight Mop.
It's simple to use. Just lock in the plate and mop yourself back to sexy.
Chef Hans here. So tired of curling out of your dish pit? By Weight Mop. And voila! Now you have strong girly man.
Weight Mop.
Hey, how you doing? Jimmy Capello here. My wife was complaining she never got time for the gym. I saw the Weight Mop. I thought two birds with one stone, right? Hey, and now she looks out of this world.
Weight Mop.
Yeah, my husband got this really heavy mop. What's a celebrity janitor?
Weight Mop.
Weight Mop.
Because you got a weak shoulder.
Weight Mop.
Because you need to feel bolder.
Weight Mop.
Jocko's creation.
Weight Mop.
Mop across the nation.
Weight Mop.
We're against segregation.
Weight Mop.
Call now.
1-800-WAIT-MOP. That's 1-800-WAIT-MOP.
A Sizzle Plate product.
Oh yeah, Dave, Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com. Yeah, coming back live here on a Thursday in December, ladies and gentlemen. I can't believe it's December as it is. It's December 5th, as a matter of fact, Jeffy. Can you believe that?
Can't believe it, man. I'm telling you, it's really flying by. I can't believe it's December 5th. I have so much shit to do.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Fuck, Dave, it's fucking almost 2020, bro.
Yeah, dude, I'm still, like, my brain is still in the middle of September.
Yo, listen, wasn't it about this time a couple years ago you were making the move out here to the East Coast?
I think I was getting ready to. I was lining it up. I didn't actually make the move until like August.
Yeah, yeah. Well, damn, man, it's just crazy to see how it's changed, man. And it's funny how much, you know, you can meet certain people and, you know, what happens with your life with them. You know, when me and Jeffy met, we became friends instantly. When me and Dave met, we became friends instantly. You know, when we first started talking to Matt here on the show the first time, I knew he was an amazing guy. He's a good brother. The guy's just out there changing the world. You hear the guy talk, he's a chef. Like, he knows what he's talking about. But to me, what was really changing was as I was driving home from work tonight, I listened to the TED Talk that Matt did for Rethink, and I kind of revisited some of the stuff from the prior show just to have a little homework done. And I tell you what, man, this is one of the most inspiring guys as a chef I think I've ever talked to in my life. I listened to this man talk, Jeffy, on this TED Talk, and I want to go change the world now. And I believe him. When he says they're going to end hunger, if there's one person in this world that can do it, I think it's Matt.
I believe it. You know, he's you said, he's a super inspirational guy, and he's got a plan, and he's smart enough to bring on even smarter people to help him get it done. And I think
that's a leader.
You know, I'm excited.
That's a leader, and I tell you what, man, we couldn't be more excited to have him on the program with us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Please give a nice welcome to the inspirational, which I'm pretty sure as a chef, he never thought he'd be an inspirational guy like that, but you are, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Joswiak. Matt, good evening, bro. How are you?
I'm good.
That was quick. That was short. Glad to hear it, man.
Nice.
Where are you at tonight, dude? Apparently he's not with us. That's where he is.
Let's see. He is?
Oh, I'm out. No, I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm out, and I'm in my apartment in New York, just smoking a cigarette out the window and drinking a cold one.
I'm dying laughing. Nice. I tried to give you a great intro and bring you in, and you were like, "I'm good."
You did
good.
A great job. I'm so humbled, man. I mean, you guys, you know, it's so interesting because I, you know, people. To me, it wasn't really a crazy idea. Was to like, hey, let's just make family meal for New York. And it's the people like you who have been just so, and Jeff, Dave, you as well, just so unbelievably supportive that it's what makes the difference. You know, it's like I could do this and people could be like, oh, yeah, cool, whatever. But like the community has gotten behind us. And, you know, there's some nights where I have some doubts and some worries and some concerns, but you know, you get nights like these where you got really inspirational people telling you that you're doing a good thing. It makes you feel better. Let's say that.
Shit, dude. I, I don't know about inspiring. Jeff and I got good dick jokes, and I can make you a great short rib, but I don't know about that. Listen, I just want to bring everybody up to speed, man. If you didn't check out the first episode when Matt was on back in July of 2018, Matt founded an amazing, amazing charity called Rethink NYC. And what these guys do is that...
Rethink Food NYC.
What they do, man, they go out and for restaurants that have leftover food, Jeff... They take this food and they repurpose it and make sure people who need it get it. And I'll tell you, man, it's really inspiring to see it. I'll tell you, after hearing your TED Talk, bro, literally I'm driving. I'm on the West Side Highway. I'm heading north. I'm about Chelsea area, and I'm listening to you talk, and I'm looking around going, we can all change the world. Fuck yeah, we can do it. I look over to the left. I smile at the guy driving the cab next to me. He gives me the finger, and I'm like, right on. And I keep on driving. New York, baby.
No, but, love it, man.
But seriously, I listened to the TED Talk. Bro, I don't know if you realize how inspiring that is.
Well, I really appreciate that. You know, it's a little nerve-wracking for me from time to time to do that kind of stuff and be so public about it, because it's a heavy dose of honesty, you know, and it's like you being real about, you know, it's like, you know, we all love what we do. We all care about what we do. But there's some depth to it that we don't talk about. And it's, when you lay it out, it's a cleansing experience. I'll say that.
Well, if you haven't done so, man, I'm going to put it out there too. After the show, I was running in here to get things done for the program, so you guys can check out this TED Talk. It's really amazing to hear Matt talk. But this is what I found so, I don't know, man. Like, it just really hit me. Like, it all kind of clicked in my brain when I listened to your TED Talk, because you talked a lot about personal stories for yourself in there, and like kind of where you came from and your upbringing. And brother, literally, I remember for myself, you know, we didn't have heat sometimes in the house, and we would turn the stove on because it was an electric stove, and turn up to 500, and that's what we would try to heat the kitchen up with or the house up with. And like,
oh yeah, I've been there, dude.
I mean, but look, that's the generation of cooks that we are. You know, like, that's where we came from. And you took that and you hit the fucking nail on the head when you talked about having that, scraping the pan with that risotto and grabbing a couple of leftover ends if you worked the beef station and putting it in a to-go cup and going, and you had that wine that was probably terrible, and but you got home and you ate that and you felt like $1 million. And, you know, you want to make other people have that feeling. And I mean, that really, dude, it hit me pretty hard. I'm not going to lie. I got a little, like, teary in the eyes. I was like, holy shit, he is, I know what he's talking about. Like, I get it.
Food's powerful, man. Food's so powerful. Ugh. You know, it's like, you know, you can, you know, one time when I first moved to New York, before I even started Rethink or anything, I did this dinner with a friend of mine, and one of the guys that was supposed to cook lost his restaurant that week because the investors pulled out, and they just were like, it's not working and blah, blah, and all this shit. And, you know, instead of having him cook, I said, hey, why don't you come in and bring your, you know, bring a friend or bring, you know, whatever you, girl you're seeing, whatever it is, and bring him in and sit down and eat. And he was like, really? I'm like, yeah, I'll take care of your course. Don't worry about it. It'll be easy. And he comes in and he seats, and I'm like, and he has this great time. And I'm like, yeah, like, sometimes you got to be on the other end of it, you know, and that feeling, that warmth, that wraparound, that, like, whatever food does, or that those nights that you leave a restaurant or a great meal, like, it makes us want to fucking be here, like, on the planet.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, that's what it does. It's, food is so powerful, and we underestimate it and we take it for granted. And I really only think that chefs, you know, and we talked a little bit about this last time, but, like, chefs, you know, they, this Anthony Bourdain kind of thing, whatever it is, and, you know, this attitude is important. But what we really do is we inspire people with food and great meals every single night. And as a private chef, I think as a private chef, you get a little better of a taste of it, because you do that, you actually bring people around a table to hang out.
100%. I mean, you know, the people that I work with, they get to have dinner together, you know, a few nights a week. That is a lost art in this world today. You know, the whole family sitting down to eat dinner at a certain time. And, you know, I just, I wanted to just touch on what you said with a quick story, then I'll stop talking. I'm running my mouth a lot, Jeff. I apologize. You haven't got a word in yet.
No, I'm in. Don't worry.
You know, it's one of my clients at where I with my private client was they have a terrible head cold right now and then not feeling really good. So I made an old school beef stew for him, bro. Right, but. You know, the typical thing for us chefs is we hit our mirepoix, you know, we hit, you know, whatever vegetables we're going to put in there. But, you know, to put something like turnips in there, right, which is so simple, like we know that, you know, throw a turnip in a beef stew, it's delicious, right? They take mm-hmm. a bite out of it, and the primary at my house just goes, oh, my God, this is making me feel so much better already just eating this. Why does it taste like this? It tastes like what my grandma used to make. And it's the simple things that we don't think twice about, like, you know, throwing something like a turnip in a beef stew that they would use, their grandparents would use because that's what was available right now. But doing that, it adds that flavor, that warmth, that comfort that makes them feel better, which I think kind of even is similar to you sitting, you know, at your apartment with your dog eating, you know, that risotto and having that corked wine, just making you feel like you're on top of the world. Like it's that feeling that food can bring a person, make them feel like a person. Even someone who lives on the street, someone who is down on their luck, can have a great meal but still feel like a human being afterwards, which I think we all deserve. It's a right as a human being.
The cooks got to know they have that power, you know? It's like, it's so crazy, you know? And I talk to young cooks all the time, and I try to, you know, whenever they reach out, and if you want to reach out, my email's on the website, but like, you know, it's everythingfood.mic, but you know, I talk to cooks, I'm like, you got to realize that you have an ability to make people feel better. You know, like you can go to, like there's doctors, there's, you know, fucking therapists, there's, you know, people out there that,
right.
that specialize in this. But you know, it was funny. It was last night, you know, me and my fiance were up hanging out, and you know, I was playing this Star Wars video game, and she was sitting in bed, and she ordered food, and the food was like, you know, it didn't come. It was just like late and blah, 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 and we're waiting. And I just, you know, I ran to the, and she was hangry is a real thing. And she was right. getting upset and calling it and like, you know, blah, blah. I'm like hungry and getting angry and worried. And, you know, so I went in the fridge and I made a cheese plate, just a simple, like, you know, and it was like, it wasn't good cheese. I just came back from Wisconsin, so I had some cheese, you know, cheddar, and there's some cheddar. We had some friends over, they brought some cheese, so it's scraps, you know, really just like little odds and ends we had in the fridge. Sliced some apples from we had on the thing and put it on a plate and gave it to her. And the change that makes in somebody's attitude is huge, and not a lot of people have that power.
Yeah.
And we, you know, It's you know, I'm a big fan of, and what I always kind of like saw in my career was like, you know, cooks, you know, it's like we kind of get this image as the guy, like, you know, and yeah, we are the guy smoking a cigarette by the dumpster with a PBR that we're drinking out of a deli. Yeah, like that is the reality, and it's delicious. And, you know, but we do not give ourselves enough credit for our abilities. You know, we really have a power that, you know, takes years to learn. And we need to be a little more proud of that. We should all stand a little taller when we think about that.
I love that. You're listening to my man, Matt Joswiak, tonight. If you want to check him out on his TEDx, he's sharing equity on YouTube. You can find him there. You can also check him at rethinkfood.nyc/donate and at rethinkfoodnyc across all social media platforms.
Dude, when Matt starts talking, I kind of just want to like grab a sword and a shield and like, wherever you're going, brother, I'm with you. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's do it. I'm there. Dave, are you with me? Dave's been with us too, man. Dave was on the show last time, and I think you were pretty inspiring to him too.
Dave.
David?
Yeah, definitely. I'm in, man.
There he is.
I'm here. And there I am.
There he is. Dave, you remember last time?
You're in New York, right?
Oh, yeah. You remember last time having Matt on, Dave? We were talking a lot about, you know, the cool thing with Matt is that he's actually a chef. Like, he has worked on restaurants and all kinds of stuff. But to take something like, you know, to just take what he sees in the restaurant and turn that into what it is now, I think you had said EMP alone had fed 15,000 people. Is that right?
Yeah, it's much more now, actually. That was so in about a year, they served about 35,000 people.
Wow, that's insane, man. How many trucks do you guys have now, bro?
Three. We have three trucks. Yeah, we have three trucks on the road right now.
Oh, nice.
And you're going like all through the city, or do you try to get, do you guys get out of the city at all, or no?
We try. We do some one-off pickups at farms upstate, especially this time of the year. Farms have harvested, especially root vegetables and stuff like that, and they don't really have anything to do with it. But so we bring it in. But now, what we found to be the most interesting thing is that when we like hyper focus on a location, like right now, we're serving about 2,200 to 2,500 people a day. And what we found out was it's easier for us to just do really focus, because we think about waste and we talk about waste, you know, everybody kind of has an idea about what that is, but it's just extra food. So like we're talking about, you need to serve the perfect piece of the carrot to somebody. We just take the odds and ends of the carrot,
right?
And then we make the stew, you know. And it's like you can't, you know, who cares if it's cut into a perfect cube or whatever. So what we find is the more and more that we work with individual restaurants, we're able to really put in programs and systems so that they can donate the maximum amount of food, so that we don't have to drive and spend a bunch of money on a bunch of trucks going throughout the city. We can just do 15 places, and then each place we can basically account for at least 200 meals a day. And it just works, man. You know, I'm still amazed.
You shouldn't be amazed. It works great. And listen, I say it all the time, man. I think that chefs are some of the best leaders in the world. A good chef is a fantastic leader, and a leader of people. Like, just people will, if you're a great chef, people will follow you. People will, that's what we do. You know, I'm not trying to include myself in that category. I said that there. I didn't mean that, Jeffy. I know you're going to jump on that later. But I think chefs are great leaders, and that's, you know, I think we should put chefs in charge of way more shit than we're already in charge of, because
I totally agree.
We thrive in that. You know, we thrive in that world where it's, you know, that the high stress environment, where big things need to be taken care of, like what you're doing, man. You're feeding a ton of people with leftovers from restaurants. Dave, you have three restaurants. Why aren't you on top of this right now?
We can work something out. We'll talk off air.
All right.
I agree. You know, when I was at 11 Madison Park, I'll never forget the night. There was a big blizzard in New York, and this, you know, I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and you know, all the streets were shut down. They you know, there's all these news warnings that were like the subways aren't going to be running after this hour, and you know, all but one person showed up for work, and at EMP. That means, like, you know, there's like 30 people in the kitchen. So that's like a big commitment. And like 50%+ of the reservations had canceled because of it.
Wow.
And I remember Chris Flint, who is the chef that was in at the time, he gets up in front of the staff and he was like, we have to make an announcement. And I thought for sure he was like, we're closing the restaurant. There's a blizzard. Everybody start making your way home. It's going to take you a couple hours to get home.
Right.
And he gets up in front of the staff and he says, this is our job. People have traveled all over to come eat at this restaurant. And the people that have not canceled their reservations are the people that we are here to serve. They are excited. They're getting ready. They're getting dressed. They told their friends, their families that they're eating here, and they're inspired and they want to do it. We will not be the reason that they do not eat at 11 Madison Park. You will be the reason that they have a wonderful night. And we did one of the best services I've ever had. We all made the most beautiful food, and we had mise en place for 100, and we only did like maybe 50 or 40. And we just cherry picked the best possible product, and we just styled everybody out. We gave them the best meal we possibly can. And then Chris Flint, with some of his own money, took everybody he could to the only open bar after service.
Wow. That's amazing, dude. That's what it's about. I mean, Jeffy, that's what it's about right there.
Absolutely, man. That's why you're going to the fire with those kind of chefs, though. You know, yeah. Those kind of stories right there. When when somebody can like pull it together and turn the whole kitchen around, because I'm sure that place was grumbling, you know, and like half the people were like, are we getting out of here? What the fuck? What's going on? What are we doing? What, you know, have you heard? Have you heard? What's up? Right. What's mm-hmm. up? You know, mm-hmm. you know, that's going around the whole kitchen. And like, you know, it takes a guy like that to like stand up and then reward everybody at the end of the night and keep everyone like a team and feel like a family. I mean, that's how, I mean, the really successful places, that's how you drink the Kool-Aid, right? You know, you have to like want to be there. You know, like you have to realize that, you know, like it's work. It's not the Food Network. It's right. real work. Like, you know, that was something that Matt said. Also, last podcast, I hate to keep saying this, last podcast, but he said, you know, it's as chefs, it's about work, you know, and it's about putting in the work. And it's like what he's doing, it's all about setting up an infrastructure so people can put in the work so that it could happen. Because it's there. Like, the food is fucking there. That's the thing that's so mind-blowing, is that it's there. So it's if everyone just agrees to follow the infrastructure so that way we can get this food into a place where there's some shelf life so we can get it out to the people who really need it. I mean, I just can't believe it hasn't taken off even bigger. I can't believe we're not franchising this in San Francisco or in California where there's like such desperate need.
We're working. I mean, really, it was crazy, man. I was sometimes I guest lecture at universities, and I was at Columbia doing this environmental studies class, and you know, it was like 30 some odd undergrad kids there, and I'm talking, and you know, I'm like, how many of you go to a soup kitchen once a week or a food pantry? And they all, you know, nobody raises their hand, and I'm like, well, statistically 45% of you are insecure, food insecure. You don't have access to a nutritious meal when you need it, and you can't afford it if you did have access. And universities throw away, because universities are one of the worst places that throw away food. Throw away so much food, and I'm like, how are we not? And I'm still fighting it. I'm still having these conversations, like weekly. I'm having a conversation with some director of some sustainability program somewhere, some shit, and like, it's insane that we right there, students, college students in America. Are not eating nutritious food. They don't have access to food. They're stealing food. They're eating just like McDonald's every 5-6. And don't get me wrong, McDonald's makes. I'll eat a double cheeseburger from time to time. But they don't have access to it, and we're still sitting around being like scratching our heads, like, man, how do we fix it? I'm like, what are you talking about? How do we fix this thing? It's pretty simple.
Well, the old systems are broken. We have to like, we have to really like change some of the paradigm. You know, we have to get in there and shake it up. And I think that's what you're doing, Matt. I mean, you're shaking it up. You know, you're challenging people with some really hard truths. Like all chefs know, we've all looked in the garbage can, and we've all also all taken home scraps and lived on them. So we know, like, we all know how much food is in those fucking dumpsters.
Jeffy, are you saying that you think we should rethink the food?
Sorry. Best use to the stinger yet.
I was waiting for that. I was like, Jeff, what other adjective can you use? Verb, sorry.
Oh, that's amazing. Listen, so Matt, I want to tell you, man, I've done some work. After the last time we talked, I kind of looked locally here where I live. I live in Newtown, Connecticut. It's no secret. And I started doing a little bit of work with an amazing group here, which I have three kids. If you get a kids charity involved and kids being hungry, and I can barely keep a straight face even saying that. I fall apart. I just don't understand how we can't feed children. It makes no fucking sense to me. But
in schools, you mean?
In schools.
Fucking.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Well, there's this amazing group here in Newtown, and I don't want to say their name because they're not trying to make a big deal about what they do because they would get bombarded. But check this out, Matt. What they do is they make backpacks full of food, right? And like it's usually, you know, like canned food or just things that are – things that'll hold for a day or two, right? And they these kids, before they leave, like, school that day, they go and pick up this backpack which they can then put their books in and whatnot, but it's full of food for them to bring home. And their classmates don't have to know they did it. They don't have to know that, oh, that's the poor kid or that's the kid who doesn't have food. And they go home with a backpack full of food for their families that can't afford food for whatever the reason, right? So at least they're getting that food then. And then they, because, you know, there's something to that. There's something to kids, you know, kids are the most, I love them, but they can be brutal and making fun of other kids. But they literally, they pull them aside and on their way out, they stop by, they pick up their backpack full of stuff, or it gets brought to the classroom and it has food in it, and they put their books in it and they leave like it's normal. And it's, I don't know, man, I started helping these guys out a little bit. We did a big thing for Thanksgiving for them, man. I just think it's amazing to see, you know, I guess the point I'm trying to get is I think there's still good people in the world. I think, you know, guys like you.
I mean what you're talking about right there is something that we think about, I think about all the time. And it's like, why do you know 75% of the people that fluctuate around the poverty line that should be using food services like food stamps or going to a soup kitchen don't use it in fear of being made fun of?
Sure.
And then that's what happens. And you have from that, then you have basically there's been major corporations, like big companies, they have dollar menus and all this stuff so that they can, so that's the demographic that they're trying to hit. That's wow. Exactly where they're trying to hit. And so it's not, and so to find a way to be charitable without making it sound like charity is really hard. And rethink is right now, I just pulled the trigger on this today. We're souping up a couple old mail vans, and they were, you know, they delivered, you know, food around, they used to obviously pick up mail.
Right.
And we're souping them up and turning them into food trucks. And the food truck is, you're going to have to pay for it, but it's only $2. And for $2, you get
wow.
a big bowl of delicious food that, you know, we make at Rethink. And, you know, that money will go back to Rethink to help us make more food and to fundraise and to do what we do. And what will happen, what our hope is that the price is so low that you don't have to tell anybody. It's just a deal. You just found a deal. You don't have to tell anybody. You know that you, oh, wow. God, I couldn't afford food. And, you know, I'll tell you something. You know, I'm at a point in my life where I can't afford to eat. You know, I could seamless and order food and eat right. in places that I want to eat. Not, like, super fancy, but I can do okay. And, like, I'll tell you, I struggle to find. You know, I eat this. There's this place in New York, Sophie's. They make Cuban sandwiches. I eat that 5 nights a week.
Sounds delicious.
If somebody told me that there was some bowl of food that was like the perfect nutritionally balanced meal, tasty and delicious, and $2, I'd be all over it.
Dude, you should call it the $2 truck and just put a giant $2 on the side of the truck. Seriously.
I mean, that's exactly what we're doing. We're branding it just like $2 meals. The thing is that we're doing is there's only one option.
Yeah, yeah.
Only one food option. And that's what we're saying. People are like, why is it so cheap? Well, there's only one option. That's why it's cheap.
This is what we have today.
That's it. And that's the dignity behind it, man. We don't want people to feel bad because they can't eat. It's like cooks, too, you know? Like, I think that's why cooks, you know, can be so aggressive sometimes and kind of...
Sometimes.
And, like, aggressive is not bad. Yeah, sometimes. But, like, you know, I'm gonna say, so some chefs can kind of be dicks.
Wait, no. Dicks. Come on. You're talking crazy now, Matt. What?
Well, I think it's like an insecure. I think it's just like, you know, you've worked your ass off and you've gotten to this point in your career and now you make $45,000.
Right.
And it's just like not in New York at least or in any major city where you're going to be making food. That's like no money. And
totally.
So we need to get to this point where there's an option for food that doesn't, like, make you feel like you're going to charity that's nutritious and delicious, and you just share it, man. It's really not that. Yeah,
$2 truck is an amazing idea. You're going to crush it with that, and you're going to get some major national attention with that. I'm telling you, from a guy who works in the media, you're going to get major attention for that. Don't you think, Jeff?
Absolutely. I mean, I was just going to say, like, that's a genius idea because, you know, the places that I always see super packed and sadly it's always with, like, you know, kids after schools or like, you know, people who are like working. You always see like guys who work at the MTA, this and that. It's always the dollar slice place. You know, the dollar slice places in New York, there's always a line. It doesn't matter what they're serving. It could be cardboard with ketchup on it. And like, you know, if you're hungry, it's a dollar. It's,
that's literally why I moved to New York. I mean, dude, like, in all honesty, it's, the dollar slice joint is, I'm a Midwesterner. So I lived in, you know, I grew up in Milwaukee and I lived in Chicago for a long time. And I was like, man, rent's so much higher here. But I know that I can always like, I know that I can always get a dollar slice. And like that idea, like the dollar slice, and it's not, you find a dollar slice nowadays, you know, and now it's a $2 slice, $2.50.
But
like
food.
Those, yeah, like I knew I could always eat. In Chicago, there was no dollar slice joints, you know, the cheapest meal you could get was at McDonald's. And then, you know, Mexican restaurants are, you know, that's
why they have those, food. It's more of a casserole in Chicago, I think, is why.
Yeah, it's like a casserole pizza. You know, right.
It's a lot more expensive.
Read my mind. I was going to wait to go there, but.
Well, no, it's the Mexican, like the Mexican restaurants in Chicago are like, because, you know, there's like a lot of Italians in New York and they, you know, brought the pizza culture. But in Chicago, there's a huge Mexican population and the Mexican food in Chicago is just banging. Like, I love it.
Yeah,
I miss it. That's the one thing I really miss about Chicago. But you could go get like a burrito for like $5. But like if you ate a burrito in Chicago for $5, like that'd fill you for that's lunch and dinner for sure.
Man, Jeffy, why don't you throw a plug out there for Matt, because we should get some guys. I mean, listen, we know we're cooks listening to this program. We don't make a lot of money, man. But if you got a buck, you can throw the guy a buck. Every little bit helps, man. These guys are out there trying to change the world.
Every little bit helps. Well, once these $2 trucks go around, go get yourself a hot meal.
Yeah, I'm going to the – listen, here's the thing. Fucking Matt used to work at EMP. I'm going to go get me some shit from the $2 truck. I ain't playing games.
Absolutely.
It's going to be delicious, man. I'm so excited.
Dude, I can't wait for that. Are you, Dave, can you go run one of these trucks for him?
Yeah, dude. I'm down.
I mean,
no, Dave, I expect you coming on by soon, right?
Definitely, man. Definitely.
We got to make sure you guys connect offline. Dave's in his off season right now. I mean, he runs a really nice restaurant in Montauk right now. And he's in off season right now. So he's got nothing but time. So he's coming to see you, bro.
All right. We're there. And you guys, I'm holding you to this public now. You're doing a show at some point, right? By the end of the next couple quarters at Rethink, right? You're going to do a live show at Rethink. You're having our office do it.
Springtime. Let's do it.
I love it. And we can bring, you know, if you want to talk to a couple people about what they do there. I mean, we got 21 employees right now. We're a lot of people work there doing a lot of stuff. So we're you got a bunch of people that are as passionate and sometimes even more passionate than me. Just out there crushing it. I mean, we got the best team in the world. I'll tell you, though, that, you know, we hired a lot of cooks that worked at a lot of restaurants and did a lot of, you know, had really good careers. And, you know, not fine, some fine dining, some not. And we just got the best group of people working there. I mean, they're really just good humans, and they all care, and they're all putting in as much as they can. And, you know you got a good staff when, one, our cooks stay over a year, which is rare in this industry.
Right.
And, yeah, and nobody clocks in any, you know, and they all clock out so they don't do any overtime because they believe in the mission. You know, they really just care. We pay cooks higher than the industry average. We start a little higher, but you know, they just really want to make this work. It's a good group of driven people, and I get all the credit, but it's far from me.
Well, you're about to get some more from me, because I want to point out right now, again, we've been talking about leadership and chefs and how chefs are amazing leaders. Jeffy, Dave, what Matt's doing right now is exactly what a good fucking leader does. You know what he's doing? He's putting over his team. That's what he's doing.
Good. You should be. I love it. Good man, Matt.
He's a good man. Wow. He's a good man. Dude, tell people where they can go and help out with this cause, man.
Absolutely. Listen, if you want to go check out Matt, first, you want to go to rethinkfood.nyc/donate. Drop him a few bucks. That's how you get attention. Then you go to contact him on that page. Drop him a line. Tell him how beautiful he is on his TED Talk.
Ooh.
And then if you want to check him all over social media at Rethink Food NYC. Good brother Matt.
Definitely.
Good brother
it,
Matt. We're here, man. We're making a better feast.
Say your last name for me. Is it? It's Joswiak.
Yeah.
You were saying it perfectly.
Is that you, Jeff?
I nailed it.
Yeah, you're good at saying like words, Jeffy. You're very like perfect at that.
You are good at saying words, Jeff.
Stop.
And you've also known me for 3 years, so I, you know.
Dave, I know you had a couple of questions regarding the food that they serve, man. Dave, jump in there, brother.
How does it work for like people that don't really know? Are you getting? It has to be prepped out, right? And to an extent.
Anything. So the reason that people don't donate food is because, like, as a chef, you look at it and you say, well, what are they going to do with that? You know, we can't give them that, right? So, like, we encourage people to kind of, we say, hit us with your best shot. So we get, like, you know, one of my favorite stories is once, like, about a year ago, we got, like, 20 gallons of milk that was on the expiration date. And, wow. You know, they were like, what are you going to do with this? We made cheese.
Fuck yeah.
You know, and then we made ricotta. And we just, like, you know, put it on the, we sprinkled it over the salad for the day. You know what I mean?
Idea.
Like, it's
nice.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we take absolutely everything that we can do. And the end product is just like, you know, it's divided into three categories. We have a protein station, a starch station, and a veg station. We do some pastry, you know, but that's just kind of for fun. But starch, veg, protein, and essentially what we get is, you know, beautiful trays of roasted vegetables. People kind of think that it's like carrot peels and red pepper tops or something like that,
yeah.
But it could not be further from the truth. People throw away an extraordinary amount of food. It's like... Wegmans, I got to plug Wegmans. They're the best partner we've ever had.
Wow.
They just opened up in Brooklyn. Yep, the grocery store. And they are so good about food safety and food quality. It's amazing. So they'll give us like chicken breast that has 2 days left on the Best Buy date because they want to have the freshest chicken breast on there. So we'll roast it off and we'll get it to the, we'll roast it with two days left on it. We'll roast it off, and then we'll make, like, you know, roasted chicken salad or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we'll get it to the other nonprofits so they can feed people. You know, something that people don't really realize is actually the impact that I found to be the most important thing. You know, philanthropy is kind of a crazy game. And, you know, you have all these little soup kitchens and nonprofits all over New York City and homeless shelters and all these things that we support. And the problem is that at each individual one, they're all hiring a cook. They're all hiring a person. And then you have great organizations like City Harvest. They'll drop off like 90% of what they need. But then they still got to go get whatever they're missing. And then they have to have a kitchen manager. And then if they have volunteers do it, they got to have a volunteer manager. And then they have to have, you know, all the pots and pans and so, and it just ends up costing so much money. So essentially what we are is like, we save nonprofits so much money by just doing what we do. So now when you donate to a homeless, like Bowery Mission, which is one of the most amazing institutions in New York, when you donate to Bowery Mission, which I suggest you do, Bowery Mission, Neighbors Together, North Brooklyn Angels, these are all great institutions. I also suggest that you drop them $10, $5, whatever you have. And,
yeah.
You know, that money just goes so much further to help the community because they're not paying for fucking food.
Wow.
That's the beauty of it. That's really what inspires me.
I love that. I love hearing that. I love hearing that whole part of it. I think it's great. I love the fact that they can do things like put money into toiletries and things that people can't get if they're, you know, really, really hurting because they freeze up so much money that they don't have to put any money into food at all. It's pretty awesome, man.
It's amazing. Yeah, they can buy better linens. They can, you know, hire social workers for, you know, job trainings. They can do drug rehabilitation services. They it just unlocks tons of money by just fixing. If we just tweak the food system a little bit, it's not a major tweak. We're not doing anything crazy. We're not like getting rid of carrots. You know, like we're not banning.
This dude is telling us to give money to other places, not his place. This is what's crazy to me. Like, Jesus, bro. Like, I'm so tired of how I think I might not want to be your friend anymore because you're too much of a good human being.
Oh, you are too.
And that's his comeback. Oh, you are too. Stop it. Bro,
we're all good people, man. Like, chefs try to be all tough and shit. They try to be so hard, but like, dude, we're wearing aprons and feeding people.
And
you know what I mean? Like, it's all about the love.
Absolutely.
It's all about the love.
That's all it is, man. There's so much negativity in the world now, man. I mean, listen, the second I had kids, Matt, I started crying at fucking Sunny Delight commercials. Like, I fucking became a mess. Like, I break down in a heartbeat. Jeff won't even go see a movie with me. If there's an animal in the movie, I can't deal. He can't even laugh at me. He can't even be with me. It's terrible.
No, hold on. That's not true. He won't go see a movie with me because he knows I'm going to point and laugh when he starts crying.
Dude,
you know, when I worked in Chicago,
we're hard truths tonight.
When I worked in Chicago, I you know, one of my, you know, a mentor of mine, Chad Vinny, this restaurant called Schwa in Chicago that is a crazy. This place is fucked up. Like, if you know what Schwa is, it's a restaurant that this guy Michael Carlson, who's totally out of his mind. He rents $750 a month. He does a 12-course meal, and you know, as many drugs, paintball guns, ninja stars that like are like, you know,
fuck
Grant
yeah.
Atkins came in and like we like throwing ninja stars at him, like it was fucking insane.
God,
anyway.
I wish you would hit him. I wish you would hit him, Dave. Heel turn. I wish you'd hit him. Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, so I'm sitting there. It's like 5 a.m. and I'm hanging out and drinking with Vinny, and I'm talking about, you know, about how I feel as a cook at this point in my career, and I'm sad. And I know there's a lot of cooks listening tonight, so this is what I want to tell you guys. There are so many people that are going to talk shit about you. Never be one of them. Be your own fan. You know, like,
wow.
The fish guy is always going to be like, oh, this guy can't do that. You know, don't sit around and be like, you know, maybe I'm not that good. Maybe I'm not. Believe in yourself. You know, don't. Enough hatred and haters out there. Like, don't hate on yourself. Never hate on yourself.
And lift each other up. I'm going to tag that. Lift each other up. Don't talk shit about other people, too. Lift people up.
Love it, man. Like, it's all about
unless
the love, man.
They deserve it. They're pieces of shit, and you want to tell them so. Then get in there and just say it.
If that motherfucker cooks a steak well done one more time, fuck that guy. He's out the game.
Well, no. Help him, you know?
Help him by booting him off the station. No,
maybe that's it. But, you know, maybe a little bit of failure helps people, you know? Like, it's hard to say, you know? But, like, it's all about the love. It's all about community. We help each other. We work together, you know, we do a beautiful thing. And, you know, it's sad because it's like, you know, doctors and lawyers, they have this community and this esteem, and we have our own community. And we're not represented by, like, you know, smoking cigarettes by the dumpster and, you know, heroin addicts and that shit. We are a culture. We are a team. We do a beautiful thing, and we supply food to this whole country. We got to be proud of that. We got to, whether you're cooking food at a 3-Michelin-star restaurant or you're cooking at a nursing home, it doesn't matter. You should be proud of it. You're doing something that helps.
This dude, for God's sake, yeah. Jeff, plug this guy. Are you kidding me? I'm telling you, Matt.
From the tall to the small.
I will jump off the bridge right now if you say go.
Tops. We are preaching for this guy. Jeez,
I'm jumping off the bridge. If he says jump off the bridge, Jeffy, I'm doing it.
Preach. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
All right. So, first of all, get your ass out there. Rethinkfood.nyc/donate. It's the holidays. Don't be a cheap bastard. Drop some money out there. Be cool.
Change the
Help
world.
People. Do the right thing. Then go follow them at RethinkFoodNYC across all social media platforms. They're doing some awesome events coming up. They're always dropping new products, new team ups with different partners. I mean, they're literally rethinking food, so get out there and check them out.
Two more for me, Matt.
I love that. And guys, seriously, the Instagram, the Twitter, that stuff, like, let me tell you why it's important. If you don't want to donate $5, that's fine. I get it. But, like, if you follow us, brands will give us money to reference that.
That's
so
true.
Even if it's one follower, like, brands will give us money to say good shit about them on our Instagram, and then I can feed more people. So the follow is as important as the dollar.
Damn.
So stop what you're doing. Rethinkfood.nyc. Go there, and then I can convince, like, fucking Cliff Bar or some shit to give me $100,000. So go do it.
Cliff Bar, where you at? My man needs some money. We're trying to save the world. Where you at?
Great company, though.
Hey,
great company.
Seriously.
This is the thing, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, Matt. When we first talked over a year ago, and you said, we can end hunger in this country, Dave and I both chuckled. And then I listened to you talk more and more and more and more. I believe you. Like, I think
it's so possible.
It's completely possible. And it's funny because I think chefs are going to be the ones to do it. I do, because of guys like you.
And that's what's going to build us, you know. And honestly, I hope that, you know, we build a system where, you know, chefs have some leadership, some ownership, and they're doing this, and we accomplish this. And then, you know what? It's for me, and maybe this is a little selfish.
I love shellfish. I like clams. Yeah. Jeffy, what do you like? I like mussels too. Sometimes you gotta have crispy bread.
Society, you know, it's about getting our place. In
Matt
society.
Wants nothing to do with the joke. He's like, I'm in. I'm gonna keep going with my shit. You shut the fuck up.
Getting our place in society. It's about getting us out there. And if we accomplish this as a community, if we get this done as a community, and if you're in Indiana right now, breaking down your station, you got your cell phone in a 9-pan and you're listening. Throughout the next couple of weeks, just call your local nonprofit, call your local soup kitchen, whatever it is. And I know you don't know where it is, and that's okay. You don't have to. Call them, look it up, and say, hey, is there any way I can help by giving you some food? And figure it out. Build a community. Work together. And if chefs actually get this shit done, then we're not going to be like the tattooed guy nothing wrong with tattoos or smoking cigarettes. I smoke too, but I have tattoos. But nothing wrong with sitting by the dumpster and doing that. But, like, we can have some integrity back into what we do. People don't respect us the way that we should be respected. And that's the reality.
Guys like you are fixing that, dude. Don't downplay it. You're out there changing the game and changing the world. You're fixing a problem that's massive that all these fucking people that we elect can't seem to fix, but somehow or another chefs can fix. And I love that.
Chefs can fix it. That's that. You're damn right.
That's what's up. That's what's up right there. Matt Joswiak is on the program tonight. Plum Love Foods Live. Matt, brother, we love talking to you. I could talk to you all night long. You and I and Jeffy, and we got to connect offline here, man. I got some ideas and some things I think I can maybe help. So I want to be a part of it. But, brother, I want to wish you
absolutely.
And your fiance.
You are already a part.
Oh, man. And before I wish you guys happy holidays, I want to say thank you for all the hard work you do, man. You bust your ass. Bro, you're full-time now doing this. The last time we talked, you had another job.
Yeah, well, I had to work another job to keep it going. But, yeah, no, it's funny. I was the 21st hired employee at Rethink.
That is what I'm talking about. Jeffy, that's a leader. This dude hired 20 people before he hired himself.
Dude, I'm proud to be my friend, Matt. You're a good dude, man. It's fucking really inspiring, man, to talk to you and really just to hear what you're doing.
No doubt.
And I know you personally. You walk the walk that you're talking, and we love you, buddy.
There it is. Matt, listen.
Guys. I mean, it's guys like you that promote this stuff and share this information. You know, don't discount yourselves. You know, you guys are very important, and it's really I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. It's really it's humbling. You know, I have a lot of respect for both of you and Jeff. I've gotten to cook with you, and you're
don't make him feel good about himself. Don't.
He is. He's a good cook. I'll say it publicly. He's a damn good cook.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks. He definitely is. Listen, Matt, you're an inspiring guy. Yeah, you're more inspiring now than ever. Cool. You're changing the world, brother, and I'll tell you what, I believe in you. And, bro, I'll jump off the bridge right. You say jump, I'll fucking jump. I'm standing on a bridge right now. I'll fucking jump because I believe in you that much. You say go, I'm doing it. Jeffy,
don't
I'm jumping.
Don't jump, I need you.
We're doing
don't
it.
Don't jump, I need you.
I need you.
Hey, Matt, happy holidays to you and your wonderful fiance, and I look forward to chatting with you on down the road, my good friend.
All right, guys, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. You guys have some happy holidays as well.
You too, brother. We'll chat you on down the road. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Joswiak, the head ninja over there at Rethink Food NYC. Jeffy, when I talk to that dude, I'm serious. Like, he blows my mind. That dude has become... That's a fucking leader. That's the best way I can describe it. That's a leader.
I gotta tell you, man, it's amazing to see how much he's been able to accomplish since he was able to be the 21st hire there, too. It's like, he gets a lot done. He has a big team.
Yeah.
But he's such a driving force, and he is such a leader. I think...
That's fucking leader.
That he's there full-time. It's good for all of us. It's good for everybody. Yeah. And like I said, man, I'm just really proud to call him my friend. Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to the next time we get to hang out and get some drinks.
I want to push I want to push that TED Talk, man. I'm going to push that out after the show tonight, man.
If you want to find it, just go. It's Matt Joswiak TEDx, and I think it's called About Equity,
yeah,
something like that, or Sharing Equity.
Sharing Equity, something like Food Equity, or something like
that. Yeah, and you should definitely check that out. I also watched it. It's like 10 minutes long.
Yeah, it's short.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like, it's real straightforward, and you get a real history about who Matt is and what he's doing with Rethink. Not that you didn't get one tonight, but
bro, he's one of us. You know,
and give
he's
him a follow there. Dude, he's definitely one of us. And like you said before, get on there, all the social media platforms, guys. Give him a hand. Let's give him a lot of follows. Let's get out there, Rethink, yeah, no Food NYC, you know, hit those follow buttons across all platforms.
That's it right there. Do me a favor, Jeffy. Send him a text. Tell him we love him. We appreciate him on the program tonight, and that we're going to touch base with him and figure something out after the first of the year, for sure. You feel free to do a group text and share my number on there as well. While you're doing that, I'm gonna bust Dave's balls pretty hard here.
Nice.
Dave. Do
it. What's up?
You're the worst interviewer I know.
I'm more like, I'm in awe when Matt speaks, because when he
fucking throw that card. All right,
yeah. When we first talked to him, they had one truck and they were picking up deliveries when they could. And then when he's like, "Oh, we have three trucks now picking up, and then also we have mail trucks coming that we're turning into food trucks," and we're gonna,
how smart,
like,
is that, right?
Yeah, that's amazing. So it's like, I just want to hear what he says next. I don't
real
wanna
talk. That dude's changing the world. Do you not believe him? He says he can end hunger. I fucking believe him.
I mean, he's on the way. He's definitely making progress.
He's got
You know, I think it's really important. He's not saying he can end hunger. He's saying we can end hunger.
Oh, that's where I was going, Jeffy.
I think that's really, really powerful.
That's where I was going. Yeah. That's where I was going. You know how I feel about that we word. You and I have had that conversation.
I was just going to say, it's like Plum preaches this to me all the time. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. It's a we. We're a we. We do things really, really well together, and we get a lot more done when we're helping each other.
So
and
much
I think
stronger
Matt
together than
that.
Separate. And, you know, I'm upset that we haven't done something with it. I can't believe it's been a year since we talked to him. That's a good brother right there. Please, please, please support those guys. We don't bring people on here just to fucking do it. I'm telling you, man. We believe in those guys and what he's doing. And when he tells you that one restaurant has fed 35,000 people, that's insane. I meant to ask him how many people they've fed this past year. Like, in 1 year, how many people they've fed. And what they do is absolutely insane. I love it. I want to go hang out there. I want to help them. Jeff, Dave, let's do an event with those guys. I want to fucking crush it. We got a big things coming up in our timeline here, and I think it can only help them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, man.
Absolutely. He just texted me back that he really wants to get together with us too, and he would love to, but like, let's pick a date. Like, he wants it to real, like, let's really do it. Like, let's not just talk about it. Let's be about it, and I'm with it.
Maybe you should tell him we're still in the air right now, that we can't pick it right this second, but like, we will definitely do that.
I am. Yeah. Listen, talk, text, chew gum, what the fuck you want?
Jeffy, you gotta be able to talk and read at the same time. that's what has to happen.
I'm trying to read, talk, text, think, you know, trying to fill in for Dave.
Because Dave doesn't fucking talk. Yeah. Dave, that was an opportunity for you to chime in right there. And what were you doing?
I'm listening to you guys.
No, but you heard Jeffy didn't. He was doing something. You should have chimed in. You should be like, I like snow cones.
You almost made me ruin my computer. You're a dick.
What did I do?
Everywhere. That was terrible.
You spilled mustard on your computer?
Listening to you guys.
You fucking asshole. All right, Dave, look, man, it's the holiday season, Dave. I love Christmas time. Don't you love Christmas time?
Fuck yeah.
You know I love Christmas time. You came over here last Christmas Eve. I gave you like $9,000 in presents.
Yeah, you're like fucking, you're Mr. Christmas.
I love it.
You spew Christmas.
I get emotional. I love like Christmas time. I'm look, my friends mean more to me than anything. Like, I grew up not with, I didn't fucking have shit. And my family was, whatever, we're not going to get into it. My friends were my people. And like, I care the most about them. That's the people who take care of me. And I Christmas time's a great time to show that. So I like to do that. That's what I do.
That's what's up. This is true.
And this is so true. I thought you were going to make fun of me, but you didn't.
Nah, do you want me to make fun of you?
No.
You fucking Christmas with the crank's ass Krispy Kringle. I can't say no. It doesn't work.
Oh, please keep talking. Please keep going. I love it. I just like to hear you keep going and stumble.
And stumble? Nah, because it's hard to talk shit about somebody who's just so stoked about Christmas.
Oh, look, like, I love you guys. Like, you know that. I don't fucking hide it. Like, that's.
And the cool thing is, you're not annoying about it. You wait till after Thanksgiving. You don't like start in Halloween.
My fucking drink almost went on my fucking computer, Dave. That might be
he
the
funniest
thing
ever. He is in his mind, though. You know, in his mind, he's thinking Christmas all year.
Yeah. That's fine. He can keep it inside. The second you like start right before like Thanksgiving, dude, I'm gonna be like, fuck you, man.
Christmas don't starts pretty much after Labor Day when we're done in the Hamptons.
I'm just gonna say, I know as Hamptons, soon as he comes home, he's like,
Christmas.
Gosh, what are we gonna do for the kids?
We
what are we gonna
do
with
Christmas
this?
Out? I told my wife it was like,
I feel like he's got like this hidden room with like a little diagram of like how he's gonna decorate the house.
Yeah.
And it's just like a diorama and like scale size of the house. And he's got like miniatures, like perfectly painted of each member of the family. There's
little
some
models. Of each
is that
person.
Bad?
Rocket.
All right, look. But Dave, yeah. I also know how much you like Christmas. Like, you're a Christmas guy.
Yeah, I love Christmas.
And you like to find. You like to find that bargain. You like to dig on the internet and find gifts, you know. I know how you do. Like, you spend a lot of time doing it, and that's why I thought it would be a great idea to do this next segment here on the program to wrap up tonight's show called Dave's Holiday Gift Guide. That's the wrong soundbite.
I was going to say, that does not sound like Christmas.
But let's try again. Dave, it's your favorite time of year, you know, Christmas time. It's that time of year again, and Chef Dave is here to help you get that perfect gift for the cook in your life. It's Santa Dave's Holiday Gift Guide. Take it away, Dave. Dave, I know you've done a ton of research. Have you found some holiday gifts for that chef in your life?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And these are well thought out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first one is called Crop Preserver.
The what?
It's a crop preserver.
All right, I'm listening. Jeffy, are you with me here or are you still typing?
I'm with you.
Still typing. So you know what? I'm going to fill in. It's an anti-chafing ball deodorant.
Ball deodorant?
Yes, an anti-chafing ball deodorant. And you can actually find it on manscaped.com. And they have some 20% off. Enter code Manscaped. I need some ball deodorant. And, yeah.
Hold on a sec. Wait, you got a roll-on for your balls?
No. It's not a roll-on. Hold on. Let me zoom in on this picture a little
Jeffy,
more.
Jeffy, let's like, not play games and act like we haven't thrown cornstarch on our balls in the past.
Yeah, I powder my balls like a man.
Powder or cornstarch, Chef?
It's all a powder, Chef.
Well, so Dave, is this a nice gift set we can get?
Cornstarch is a powder. Just saying.
I think so. Look, it's our uniquely formulated
arrowroot pinch.
What is that?
Jeffy's still being aggressive. Cornstarch is not a powder, Jeffy. It's cornstarch.
Yeah. It's Look. Powder.
It doesn't Look. Have a scent.
No, hold on.
Yeah, it's not a fucking deodorant.
Powder is like, you can have powderized quartz crystals. I mean, it's a powder.
That's using it in the verb tense. We're talking about an adjective tense or noun tense.
I didn't say to powder something. I said a powder. A powder of cornstarch. A powder of toenail fungus.
Ew.
A powder of I don't know.
Can Dave finish telling us about this gift?
I'm sorry.
Fuck. All right. A uniquely formulated all-in-one deodorant moisturizer is designed specifically for below deck and highly active areas. There's residue and oil-free anti-chafing liquid talcum, or liquid talcum-like gel features, ingredients that preserve the skin's essential barrier, promote antibacterial protection, and maintain all-day freshness. Formulation call out. Features active pH control. Protects
Dave,
skin.
Can we keep the descriptions down to two or three sentences?
Is it a roll on? Do you rub it on? Is it a spray?
Rubbish. Did you not listen? It's an anti-chafing liquid like gel.
Yeah.
Liquid like gel.
Liquid talcum like. Liquid talcum like gel.
So it's like what do you think the consistency is like? Like
I don't know.
Like,
hair
pomade?
We'll test it on air.
All right. Let's reach out to him.
Test it on air.
Yeah.
Let's reach out to him.
Can I wear black gloves when we test it? I'm not going to touch you. I just want to wear black gloves. No, I just want to be in the background wearing black gloves like I might put it on just for the show.
No, the real test is to put it on, have someone smell, and see what it smells like.
Who's going to smell who's not?
Rob.
Rob might smell.
All right. Dave. Dave's holiday gift guide. It's that time of year again, and Chef.
All right, whatever. We're not going to play the whole fucking thing. Dave, what else you got?
All right. What else do I have on here?
Take it away, Dave.
Oh, it's still going. Okay.
It's the music. Talk over it. It's called a music bed, sir.
I thought it was just... All right. Okay. So this is the Olympia Provisions Salami Bouquet.
Did he just say salami bouquet?
Fuck yes, I did. And you can get it at food.com, and they range from about $50 to $85.
Holy
I got one of those for my wife.
Of course you did.
You got her salami bouquet?
It's got a smell.
Bunches with salami flowers on top.
Okay, so like...
Dave, describe what it looks like. Do you see a picture of it?
Oh, yeah, I can see it. It's here's your choice. You can choose from a 3 or 6 sausage arrangement.
Ooh.
Like and it's pretty much like butcher's paper wrapped up, like surrounding 3 separately wrapped salami. So it kind of looks, you know, like
meat flowers.
I mean, they're actual salami. It's things of salami, but you know, they just packaged it as if it was a bouquet, and
so
it comes
not
in
like
a
sliced meat. It's full on whole charcuterie.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It comes in a pretty decent looking box. I might order one of these for myself.
If I send one of these to you or Jeffy for Christmas, how much are they going to set me back there?
Well, like I said, you can choose from the 3 or 6 sausage arrangement, and then right here it's showing $50 to $85 plus $11 for shipping.
Hey, Jeffy, that's not bad. I can send you some meats for that. That's not bad.
He's going to send you some meat.
I love that. You can send me a little meat bouquet.
Yeah. All right. I like the meat bouquet.
Well, I definitely like getting meat. I like meat.
Slime bouquet, huh? Hey. Yeah,
not bad. Dave, what else you got there?
All right. Manscaped. This.
Did you just say
Joseph
Manscaped?
Joseph. That was going through. That's the website where you can get the ball deodorant, manscaped.com.
All right, go ahead. What's next?
There's the Joseph
472. You can't use 2 first names in your fucking product. Joseph.
It's a tri-scale compacting, tri-scale compact folding digital kitchen scale.
Ooh, so it's a folding kitchen scale. Okay. That's not bad. Would it fit in your knife bag or no?
Yeah, because once you fold it, it's actually about the size of like a large thermal probe.
Okay. Great
for baking.
Then
when you open it
baking?
Up, you set it down on the tripod and it weighs everything you need.
Great for baking. Great for portioning things out. Dave, what else could you use that for?
I don't know. Making sure you don't get shorted. All kinds of things, really.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Like a 2 ounce souffle cup only being an ounce and a half.
Yeah, that always pisses me off.
Does it? All right. Well, I didn't know.
It's upsetting.
Well, Jeffy, do you want one of these for Christmas? A little folding scale to put right in your knife bag there to take to work or whatnot? We're losing Jeffy.
Oh, you can't hear me?
All right, Dave, give us one more.
All right, let's see. Gonna get a good one. Oh, this one, it would kind of be for like home use.
Okay.
But it's the Good Fold. It's by AeroGarden, and it's a countertop aeroponic system.
Ooh.
And you can grow like fresh herbs and whatnot.
So you could grow like basil, cilantro, whatnot in a hydroponic situation on your countertop.
Aeroponic.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
How big is it?
I mean, you could probably fit like 2 decent sized kush plants in there.
What's a kush plant?
Yeah, that's not what I asked.
Oh,
I get it. Yes. But I mean, will it fit on the counter though?
Is kush good with like steak? Is it like thyme?
It's a newer
marijuana.
Oh boy! Okay, it's like wow. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
well,
that's
Dave. How much is that going to set me back if I want to send that to you for Christmas?
Normally it's $189.99, but right now it's on sale for $129.99.
That's a fucking deal, Jeffy. That's
that
a deal.
Fucking deal. Macy's.
Macy's
for an air system.
Macy's is selling a weed growing apparatus for your countertop.
That's not the original intent. Okay, that you want to grow fresh herbs for your recipes and shit. Like, and you just little sprig, and go and go.
Well, so, what if my recipes call for herb?
Yeah,
like weed.
You just roll with it and do it that way too.
So you can grow weed in this Macy's thing from Macy's, the Macy's product.
Do, Dave.
You know what? Live your life, boo boo. Do you?
Right, I will.
So, Dave, you were Dave Boredom. You were saying that Macy's is selling a product to grow weed on your countertop for if you need marijuana in your stuff that you can buy it from Macy's.
I never said any of
from
these
Macy's.
Words.
You can buy that. Dave says.
Dave Boredom, Macy's.
Dave Boredom. Scandal. Yeah. Wow, Dave, your research on Christmas products is amazing. I have found some great gifts here, Jeffy. This has been a very helpful segment.
Absolutely, and none of them were what I thought they would be.
No, Dave definitely took us. Dave, good job. Good job on your research, brother.
He kept it family orientated, which I was surprised. I thought we were definitely going to go down some dark. There was going to be some dark stuff.
Well,
I mean, we still have
growing.
Time. We still have time. Do you want me to go to my other list? Or
no, Dave. We're going to skip your list for now.
Going to be like, oh, and these sounding rods, custom made sounding rods.
Yeah,
on Etsy.
Hey,
see, this
the good
is
news
how
is,
they
ladies
get you
gentlemen.
The sounding rods are cheap, but then the battery to hook it up to, that's
oh, right. Listen, the good news is, ladies and gentlemen, is that this is a great segment we're going to go with for the next 4 weeks here until Christmas time. You can get some great presents. Listen to Dave. He'll tell you where to find these products. If he's smart, you know what he would do, Jeffy? He would reach out to one or two of them and say, hey, I'm talking about you on their podcast. That would be a good move, don't you think? Just saying.
Yeah.
Macy's
Absolutely.
Marijuana countertop marijuana grower. You should talk to those guys. That sounds great.
Dude, I think that's what it is. If you go to the Macy's website right now and do / @Dave Boredom,
20% off.
Marijuana grower, you get 30% off.
30%. 30% off. There you go. There you go.
Those words lined up that way, that doesn't look fucking goddamn flagged.
Hey, check it out. I want a big shout out to our good friend Matt Jozwiak from Rethink Food NYC. He's out there changing the world. Love that guy. He's an amazing, amazing good brother. Make sure you check them out at rethinkfood.nyc. And, of course, follow him on Instagram, on Twitter, all the social medias, rethinkfood.nyc. Check him out there. And, of course, follow me at chef_plum. But you probably already do that. We appreciate you guys checking out the program tonight. Dave, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks for having me on. You're the best.
All right, there it is. Jeffy.
Big Dave doing his thing, Dave.
I like fucking Jeffy's song for you, Dave.
What song is it? Can I hear it again? Dave.
It's original.
Doing some stuff is Dave. It's Dave.
That's a good one. Can we get like a...
Nope.
Like a beat for it?
Time is just up.
Can we record it?
Not acapella is probably best because then my voice kind of shines through. You get the real richness of my voice. You know, it's my range.
Maybe we could auto tune it just to
a touch, just a touch,
just a touch.
I am absolutely all for that. I think that would be amazing because then I can get that vibrato.
There it is. Your vibrato is already fantastic, Jeffy. You have a beautiful singing voice.
Yeah. Can I be your hype man in a song? Is that allowed to be a hype man in a song that's being sung about you?
Dude, I would love nothing more than to go to a karaoke bar with you and for me to start singing a song and for you to jump up and just start hyping while I sing. Because I think, and we could do a song that calls for a hype man.
Like, this is the point in the show where shit kind of falls off the rails.
Dedicating it to virgin.
Dude, we should totally do that.
We were at the end point of the show about 35 seconds ago, and now it's starting to fall off the rails a little bit.
We're trying to figure out what our next mandate's going to be, all right? Do you want to come too, Plum?
No.
Said I had a beautiful singing voice. He has to be a hype man. I thought we could make something happen.
I want to be a hype man. You're in. Bro. Perfect. End the show. Beautiful. Well,
Dave could be the hype man for me and Plum's band, which Two-Headed Camel.
Yeah. Great fucking
coming
band.
Coming soon. It's a ukulele band.
Acoustic. We sing
really
love songs.
Concept, man, now, yeah. So far.
No, we're getting it. It's going to be good. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you guys. Check out the program tonight. Please rate, review, and subscribe on them iTunes. We appreciate all the reviews. That review count just keeps fucking growing, and we appreciate that. Thank you so much. Do me a favor.
Absolutely.
Follow our good friends at Rethink Food NYC. It's going to be awesome. Jeffy, I'm going to see you next Thursday for our big project, which we'll talk about Thursday night. We're
so
shooting
excited,
day one of our shoot for the brand new series that we're working on with Eli's Restaurant Group. We're very excited. Dave?
Fuck yeah. Can I wear a grass skirt when I'm your guys' hype man in the ukulele band? All right.
We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's give it the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week. Yeah. Peace.
So exciting.
I'm the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.